We've been so enjoying our new series on these Mondays. They're called Sounds of Then, and what makes this work for us is we have a guide into the sounds of yesteryear. From the National Library of Australia, he's an audio folklorist and archivist. Rob Willis is on Skype from his hometown of Forbes. And Rob, are you a whistler or a hummer?
I'm a bit of a hummer, I think, Michael. But we've got to get that in context, haven't we, these days?
Yeah. It's true. It's a dying form of expression. No one seems to do it much anymore.
No, I'm a bit of a, if I'm trying to learn a song or something like that, and I'm atrocious for words. It's the melody that sticks in my mind, and I sort of da 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 sort of thing. I used to be able to whistle, but my teeth sort of aren't where they used to be, so that's buggered that.
Why are they in someone else's mouth now? No, let's not go there. That's hideous, isn't it?
Well,
of course, a lot of people in my parents' generation valued whistling not only as a form of communication, but as you say, as a form of expression, of showing happiness, and also as a way of enacting a tune, because melodies in some genres of music were so whistleable, if I can use that as a term.
Yeah, the old show tunes and things like that. And in my mind, I can remember the tradies whistling, and even going back when we had milkmen and things like that, they'd be sort of going along and doing their whistle too. It was a form of relaxation, I think, just to sort of, but now we've got these little earbuds that we can stick in our head and away we go.
Yeah, where we can listen to other people whistling if we so choose. And it's still heard in popular music, but just not as much. Let's go back to the 1940s first, because you've brought us it's like a promotion record for how to whistle.
Yeah, it was. There were two well-known whistlers in the 1940s. There was Ronnie Ranald from the UK, and there was the American Fred Lowry. And I found this wonderful thing from, I think it was Fred, who made an instructional record on how to whistle. So pucker up.
Yes, whistling is real fun, and I'm going to try to show you how it's done. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about breathing. When you get up in the morning, stand erect, shoulders back, take a real deep breath like this. Always keep your mouth closed when deep breathing. Now, try and do this at least 10 or 15 times in the morning, and at least 10 or 15 times at night before you go to bed. You'll find it very effective. Now we're ready for the whistle. And first of all, briefly, let's just take a few do's and don'ts. When you whistle, try and keep a real pleasing pucker. In other words, don't pucker your lips too tight. It might be a good idea if you get a mirror and practice, so you'll keep your facial expressions as pleasing as possible for others to look at.
I've got to say, Rob Willis, I'm in awe of someone who can trill. A trill is a very fine technique in the art of whistling, I reckon.
It is. Fred was whistling there. I overdubbed one onto the other there. One of his most famous things, the whistler and his dog. And as a person who works in sound, as you do, Michael, recording whistles is probably one of the worst experiences that I've ever had, I think. It's just so shrill through the cans, through the headphones.
Yeah. It's like recording violin too close to the strings. Yes, I know what you mean. The Irish, of course, love their music and they love to whistle as well. Even now, you can hear that in pubs and clubs around Ireland. Tell us about this bloke from WA.
The lovely Tommy Cairns. Tommy was a Sean Noss singer, which means just unaccompanied. He sings without unaccompanied. And we had him in the studios at the National Library. And he said, I can also whistle. And he started to tell us about how he used to learn his songs by doing what we're talking about, by whistling.
I loved that song, Far Away in Australia. Not alone did the singer, but the whistle of the air as well.
Oh, look, it evokes Ireland, and in fact, Celtic music. I mean, the pipes of Celtic music are very akin to the vocal technique of whistling, when you think about it, and they can be quite haunting and evocative. And in fact, Rob Willis from the National Library, our guest here on Sounds of Then, has reminded us of a couple of the famous tracks where whistling's been used. And Rob, the Seekers didn't do it themselves, they got a professional whistler to do it.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was a Fred Lowry or a Ronnie Rinal, but they got someone in to do it. Whereas I think on this same bit that we have here, the wonderful Bing Crosby's doing a bit from White Christmas. Now, he did it himself. He was clever.
Let's compare and contrast. Here we go. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? And actually, while I was listening to that, I was thinking the lead singer from Roxy Music, Brian Ferry, and he does a version of John Lennon's Jealous Guy, and it's got a fabulous whistling solo in the middle of it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the latest ones I could find were Guns N' Roses, and Status Quo did some, and also I found one from the Beatles. But that, yes, Brian Ferry.
Yeah, and the Beatles had two of us, didn't they? That's from the Let It Be album. Yep. And Status Quo, I think, have got Down, Down, Prices Are Down, whistled now on the Coles ad. Is that what you mean?
Right.
Anyway, let's hear someone who did it at home as a way to keep himself amused. This is what you do when you live and work solo.
Oh, yeah, Peter, a retired lighthouse keeper, and to fill in his time, he had this old Hammond organ, the electronic organ, and he multi-tracked himself playing the Hammond organ and whistling at the same time. Probably had a beautiful vista at the same time, but oh dear.
Okay, there's a hearty review. Let's see what Rob's alluding to. That's retired lighthouse keeper Peter, and I have to say, I understand now, Rob, why he was spending so much time alone.
Yes, that full recording is in the National Library. If anyone would like about 20 minutes of Peter playing organ and whistling, by the way.
I can hear the thunderous sound of feet running to Canberra. Ah. Running.
Whoa.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I like the way, and look, we're not disparaging, we're just having a bit of gentle fun here. But
no, and Peter has a joke too. He's a wonderful, wonderful bloke and a great sense of humour, and I've taken the mickey out of him as well.
Good. Now, tell us about, I love the fact that you live in rural New South Wales, you live in Forbes, and occasionally, so far in this little series we've begun, you'll bring in a voice from your local region, and this is a case in point. Tell us about Paddy Godden.
Paddy Godden was a wonderful man, 1895 born and died 2005, and 1995, sorry, and I played at his 100th birthday. He taught me a lot about the concertina, but Paddy had an Irish background, and we were talking about how he learnt his songs, and this is how he learnt them from his mum.
The mother was, she seemed to have a good ear for music and knew a lot of old tunes.
Did she sing many tunes at all?
She used to lick to me, and I learned quite a few off her, you see.
From her lilting?
That's gorgeous. Yeah. That's the late Paddy Godden. And I was reading your background on this, Rob, and you were saying that even though the family lived only 30 miles from Forbes, they'd only come to town three times a year.
Yeah, they would come at Christmas time and show time and one other time. We'll have a yarn about that sometime, that isolation too. It's very interesting.
Oh, that'd be great. That'll certainly be something to think about. And look, other people listening to the show, I'm sure some of the memories that we've stirred up by talking about whistling and even humming, because humming, I'm going to say my eldest daughter hums to herself when she's doing work around the house. I love it. It's something that kind of lifts the spirits for those around, unless, of course, you're a lighthouse keeper and you're going with an organ as well. But
that's correct.
In the meantime, Rob, it's been a pleasure. We'll put up the links to the National Library on the website for this week. And next week, we're going to be talking about, I think, rare and endangered sounds, the ones you just don't hear much anymore.
That's right. And I think one of them would be sticking two fingers in your mouth and whistling. Try it.
I can't. I'm hopeless. I'll give it a go now. And as a way of saying goodbye, Rob Willis, here's me whistling. See, I'm a cheat.
Thanks, Michael.
Rob Willis, making me feel really silly, from the National Library of Australia's Oral History and Folklore Collection. And you can Facebook me or text me now. Who have been the big whistlers and hummers in your life? And what was it they were pursing their lips around when they were whistling or humming? I hasten to add.